Welcome to the Inside Out Money Podcast. Can't even recognize this place. Too many pieces of our past mistakes. Hi, I'm Maggie, and I believe real change starts from the inside out. So let's work together to improve our money and our lives from the inside out. We will explore all things money and our relationship with it. Join me each week with a rotating set of co-hosts, friends, and interviews. Let's jump in. Hi, Liz.
Hi, Maggie. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. You always win the prize for the best, happiest greeting. You know, even Greg, who I'm sitting in person with, is never like that excited to see me.
Well, he gets to see you all the time, and I get to see you rarely, so it's more of a treat, maybe.
True, true. Okay, well, I hope this is a treat today for everybody. Welcome to the Inside Out Money Podcast. This is a podcast where we focus on redefining wealth from the inside out. Every week, I speak with a rotating set of co-hosts about a different financial topic that will hopefully help you improve your financial mindset and tactics. And today, like you heard, we've got co-host Liz here, and we are going to talk about all things emergency fund related.
I love a good emergency fund.
Yeah. People ask questions specifically, usually, how much should I have in an emergency fund is a very common question that I feel like we get. And people want a number. Which we'll get into throughout this episode.
I mean, I think
they want like a number.
Yeah, that's totally. I wish someone would just tell me a number because I think that I think about it all the time. I think like, oh, is that enough? I think it is.
Yeah. Well, I actually think, you know, we'll tease it and we'll get into it, but you have a pretty cool formula in a way that will not, that will give, let somebody get themselves to a number.
Yes.
Instead of just the typical like, oh, XX months. So we'll get to that soon. But let's start with like why emergency funds matter. Like, why should someone have an emergency fund?
Right. I mean, I think we all understand that things happen. I don't know if you've ever had a month or a quarter or a year where nothing unexpected came up in your life.
I don't know if I have. Maybe a month, perhaps, but not a quarter.
Maybe 1 month ever. Yeah, but you know, we all need emergency funds to cover unexpected expenses. So that way, when something comes up, like that home repair, car repair, medical bill, it doesn't derail you on your other financial goals. I'm guessing most people who are listening to this podcast have some big financial goals, and you don't want something coming out of nowhere and knocking you off course.
And I think that's the point is like it's without derailing your other goals. Mm-hmm. So yes, you could all of a sudden like stop putting money in your 401k or stop doing something else or stop paying off your student loans or some, you know, whatever. But like there's certain things that you just can't do without getting into, you know, much bigger situations. Like you can't just stop paying your mortgage. You can't just stop paying your rent. And so this is to cover expenses without causing even more issues in your life. And I think, you know, the thing that is just worth a reminder to people is usually when an emergency pops up and you all of a sudden need access to money, if you, you know, it can push you into like predatory lending situations when you're all of a sudden in an emergency and you don't have money, right? Where you have to take out like a payday loan and the interest rate on the payback is ridiculous. Or you...
Meaning some shady characters in a back alley.
Yeah, you have to... But I mean, for some people, it really is... It could... Like a true emergency could be the difference between... you losing your house, right? Mm-hmm. Like you, the bank taking your house back because you can't pay your mortgage or something. For others, it could just be, you know, that you're not able to do a bunch of other things that you needed and wanted to do. And again, you're having to kind of stop contributing to your 401k or something else. Mm-hmm. And then for others, it could be extreme. I mean, some people, there's a lot of stats about how many people in the world cannot afford an emergency. And if they did, it would make them homeless, you know, within a month. And so they wouldn't have a roof over their head anymore. And so it can be, I mean, I think one of the most important things, and it's interesting, we actually don't talk about it that often, but it's so basic, is putting in the work to create a true emergency fund, but respecting what an emergency fund is truly meant for, or it doesn't work as an emergency fund.
Yeah. There's like three big pieces here, right? It's figuring out how much you need, where are you going to put it, and then not touching it unless it's a real emergency. Slash, some folks, I think, have a hard time even accessing it when it is a real emergency. Like you work so hard to put that money in and then it actually feels, it can feel hard to touch it if you build that mental wall around it too well.
Right. That's a good point.
So, all right. So there's a, if you Google how much should you have in your emergency fund, there are about 11 billion results. So we're going to save you the time from having to review that. We're just going to tell you what we think.
There we go. I mean, I tell you the like traditional basic school of thought, which we referenced at the very beginning of this. And then Liz, I would love for you to outline what you have shared before, because yours, I think, is much more contextual and nuanced. Mm-hmm. But the typical thing you hear is 3 to 6 months at minimum, and ideally 6 to 12 months for like what I would call true peace of mind. But you can't do any of that if you don't know what your expenses are. So you have to know how much your family, how much it costs you to maintain your current lifestyle each month. So if it costs you $10,000 to pay the mortgage, pay your student loan, pay all your insurance, pay, you know, put food on the table, if your kids are in private school, whatever, then you need, you know, that's $10,000. You need, you know, 3 to 6 months of that at a minimum. But we also did an episode that's worth noting. Liz, remember mm-hmm. when we did the one where it was like from canceling Netflix to selling our homes, what we would do in a recession
or
if there was an emergency. So that was episode 36. I'll put a link in the show notes to it. But let's say your number is $10,000. You also should know what it could get to if you needed to get lean. Mm-hmm. Like that $10,000 might include $1,000 that you put into the brokerage every month. And it might include, you know, $1,000 of eating out, things that you know you could easily stop if you had to. So then you might say, okay, my emergency number is $7,000.
Yeah.
Or, you know, whatever. So, but that, I think that is the most important thing is like, if you don't know what you're spending on average, it's pretty hard to come up with that number and accurately in a meaningful way, I'd say.
Yeah. And in a true emergency, you could probably skip your facial, skip booking a vacation. And, you know, on the other hand, you may have a, obviously you have an emergency coming up, so you may have additional medical bills or other things to keep in mind. But yeah, knowing your expenses is your actual point, which is really important, which goes back to tracking your expenses. And I bet that you have an episode or two you could link about tracking your expenses.
Yeah, we do have a number of ones on tracking expenses, so I'll add that to the show notes. Oh, sorry, that's me typing. It's going to be in the background. Yeah, we definitely have a number of episodes on tracking expenses, so I can put those in the show notes also.
Yeah, if you're like us and you use Monarch Money, today's episode brought to you by Monarch Money. Not really, but I would like it if they would. Actually, someone from Monarch Money reached out to me, not about really? Sponsorship, but just to say – she was like, hey, I do PR or something for Monarch Money and just wanted to say, like, thanks for mentioning them so often. And if you ever wanted to, like, have one of us on your podcast, you know, we could, like, send you a guest.
That's a difference in following size, I'd like to say, because I have never – I like, gush about Monarch.
I know.
And have all the time, and I've never once gotten a thank you from them.
That's funny, too, because you mentioned – like, I actually don't – I'm always – kind of lazy about sharing my referral link. So I think I've shared it like one time, but you, I feel like you should be on their radar because you said you shared it and like people have used it a lot. It should like flag something.
Yeah, you're right. It should. Huh. It should. It hasn't. Hello, Monarch. I mean, hello.
Hi, we love you.
Are you there?
Little butterfly budget
okay.
app. Anyway.
We do love Monarch though. We do love Monarch and they don't pay us anything. We just love them.
Yep. Okay.
Okay. So what's your, like, you have a cool formula. Walk us
yes.
through it.
Yes. So, Maggie, you mentioned, like, how nice would it be if someone just told you the number? And I think there's all this, there's, like, a lot of content out in the world that says, like, well, think about this, think about that, think about what your expenses are, think about, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And then what I always enjoy is, like, I'm such a fan of, like, the good old-fashioned internet quiz, right, where you just answer some questions and it gives you an answer. And so I came up with like a quiz or a formula, maybe we can do it together, that like how many months of living expenses should you keep in cash? So it's, like I said, it's a formula. So if you want to, like, if you want to play along at home, you can. You'll have to do a tiny bit of arithmetic in your head, but you can do it. I believe in you.
And we'll put, for anyone who's like, you're about to lose me, we'll put a link in the show notes to this post on Instagram.
Perfect.
So you can see it, because you have a post on your Instagram account, which is at Liz Gets Loaded, and we'll link directly to it so they can see the visual later if they want to.
Yes. Okay, so Liz's patented emergency fund formula is
sponsored by Monarch.
Exactly. Not at all.
Not sponsored.
So start with 3 months. Like, you start with a number 3 in your head, right?
Because that's the minimum.
Because that's the minimum. And that's like our baseline. So you start with 3. And then if you're a freelancer or you're a contractor or you have variable income, you double it. You're not a contractor.
So times 2.
Yeah, times 2.
So now I'm at 3 times 2, 6.
Do you consider yourself a freelancer or a contractor?
No. I'm just doing the math. I'm playing along math with you.
I am not a freelancer or a contractor. So I'm at 3 still. Maggie's at 6.
I have 1 billion months in my emergency. I know. Because I don't have a job.
Okay. So then for each dependent that you have, anybody who relies on your income to like be alive, plus 1. So I'm still at 3 months because I don't have anyone who relies on me. You're plus 3 now.
Yeah, I'm at 9. I'm just pretending I'm all these things. I'm at 3. I'm at 6 plus 3. I'm at 9.
Okay. So if your car is not in good shape, add a month.
Okay. So that could put someone at 10.
You're at 10. I'm still at 3 because none of these apply to me so far. Minus 1 month for every substantial income stream you have beyond your main job. So if you have a side hustle, if you're an influencer, if you have a small business.
Yeah, if you have an Etsy shop, yeah, if you make some substantial is the word there though, substantial.
Yeah.
Which means I'm still at 10.
Okay. I don't have any, so I'm still at 3. All right. If you're a homeowner, add 2 months.
I'd say even if you're a homeowner who's paid their mortgage off, because you still can have like a tree fall on your house, you need a new roof, water's pipes burst.
No, that's where I was going with this. The unexpected home bills are the most expensive bills that I ever have. Okay, so with that, I'm at 5 because I just added 2 for being a homeowner.
Well, I'm a fake person that I've made up, but I'm at 12.
Okay, perfect. If you work in an in-demand field, meaning if you lost your job, it would be like very easy. You could probably find another job in a week or 2.
Like if you're constantly getting emails and LinkedIn messages from recruiters and stuff.
Yep.
Yeah.
Subtract then you 1. Can subtract 1. I don't think that applies to me. So I'm still at 5.
I did when I was working. So my made up person will go to 11 now.
Okay.
Thank you.
Great. And then the 2 more things. So think about what your health insurance deductible is. And then you add that to your total. So I would be at 5 months plus my insurance deductible is $3,000.
Okay.
And then the very last line, the most important one, whatever number you have in your head, I think I'm at 5, you're at 11. If it helps you sleep at night, you just double it.
That's where I am. I'm a big fan of the what helps me sleep at night. And that's why people even say 6 to 12 months, but I'm in the, if you can afford it, 12 plus months, personally.
Definitely had a time in my life where I was aiming for a year in cash. And as my net worth has grown and my investments have grown, I think I'm closer to like 6 to 8 months in cash. But I also think of my taxable brokerage, my Roth IRA accounts as sort of emergency fund understudies.
Yeah, I agree. That's a great point because the in cash is an important point. We'll talk about where to keep your emergency fund in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
But I love this formula because I do think it really gives people some guidance to think about their specific situation, right? And other things are like, you know, think about like, are your kids in private school, right? All that stuff should be in your math. And just knowing, like, I think that the point about your career field, is it in demand? Would it be easy for you to get another job tomorrow or would it take some time? That stuff's important. It's so unique to everybody's unique individual situation. And so I think this formula can be really helpful to people.
Yeah, it's a good place to start with. Sometimes it is just nice to plug your numbers into something and have someone give you a number. And maybe you decide to adjust up or down on your own. But it's nice to have a tool to help you make
informed decision.
Yeah. What is the word?
That doesn't seem like it.
Like without emotion, just like here's some math to do to start. Yes, not unbiased.
That sounded good. I can't think of one word for that though.
Words are hard.
So the other thing that I think is worth reminding people is you're like, let's say your number's 9. 9 months is what you're shooting for. And let's say that's, you know, let's say you spend, you know, I'm going to do easy math here. Let's say you spend $10,000 a month. That's $90,000 you need in an emergency fund. That's your goal. You're not going to get that overnight, right? You're going to start with $1 and build your way up, right? You might already have $10,000 in the bank. Now your goal is to build that up. And, you know, you can automate transfers to do that every month. You know, you can do all the things that are helpful to grow a savings goal like that. And then the other thing to remind you is when you have to use some of it. So let's say while you're building your emergency fund up, an emergency happens, which is highly likely. You have, the goal is you build it back up. So it's not a one time I get to 90,000 and then I start spending it down. As soon as that emergency is over and I'm kind of, quote, back on my feet, I want to build it back up.
Right, right. It seems like a ripe opportunity for something, some kind of sticker chart, right? Some kind of...
Yeah. Sinking. There's a lot of those, like sinking fund charts and stickers. And
exactly.
Goal budget thingies.
And celebrating each milestone, right? If you are trying to get to $90,000, which most people are not. Most people are probably aiming for something... quite a bit more.
Yeah, I only chose 10 because I can't, you know, it's easy math. But yeah, so let's say $1,000 a month, $9,000 is your goal. That's easy, even easier math for me. But you have to carry the zero.
But you could celebrate each milestone, right? Because 9,000 or 90,000 might feel very far away. But each month you might say, oh, I got $500 closer. I got $100 closer. And seeing it build up that way can be nice.
It's interesting, kind of like mildly related, but on that point of like 90,000 seems like a lot, it shouldn't if you're spending 10,000 a month.
Agreed.
Because that it is all relative, right? Yeah. So if you're spending that much, you're likely you're making more than 10,000 a month. You should be at least. Mm-hmm. And so that would actually be, even though that might sound like a big number, that is what you need.
It's funny you say it that way, because I remember being quite a bit younger. Someday long ago, I was quite a bit younger. And like literally learning at some point in my, like Googling, okay, how much should be in an emergency fund? And I got confused about kind of living expenses versus income. I was like, oh, wait, is it like 6 months of income or is it 6 months of expenses? Because like if you make, again, I'll try to make the math easy. Let's say you make $60,000 a year. That's $5,000 a month. If you're trying to save 6 months of income, that's $30,000, which if you're making $60,000 a year, like that's huge. That feels like it's going to take forever. So I guess just to circle back to your original point, mate, that's why it's so important to track your spending, to know what your actual spending is. And the lower you keep that spending, like the easier it is to cover. You don't have to have an emergency fund that covers all of your income for that amount of time. You only have to cover your living expenses.
Yeah, exactly. And you might, I mean, back to that episode we did about like kind of getting lean. If you don't have an emergency fund in place, you might want to get really lean for a few months to start to build one up, because it is really important. And back to the point in the beginning, if you don't build one up, you're going to be in a situation where you end up having to put it on a credit card and paying a ridiculous interest. Like credit card interest rates are like 20%.
Yeah.
It's really, really high. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I will say we keep talking about covering your living expenses for a certain number of months. Generally, that's the guideline that most people use to talk about emergency funds. But I think a really important piece is that losing your job is just one of many, many, many emergencies that you might need to account for. So let's talk about some super bananas emergencies. And then we'll wrap up with where we actually keep this big pile of money that we've put together.
Yeah. Do we want to start with the super bananas emergencies that you heard from people or the ones that like we thought of?
Well,
because I feel like Instagram stepped it up a notch.
They did. Yes. Let's not be anticlimactic. Like, Maggie, what's your most bonkers emergency you've ever had?
I mean, I guess maybe getting a divorce.
Yeah.
Is the biggest one.
That's a good one.
I can't honestly. I should be thankful I've not had a lot of like emergencies that I couldn't deal with or that I maybe blocked them out. I can't think of them, but getting a divorce I'd say is the biggest one. And that's one where, you know, all of a sudden you're going from two incomes to one income, mm-hmm. and a lot of the same expenses, and you've got legal fees and just, you know, a bunch of like unplanned stuff. You need to buy things you didn't own before. You're splitting up physical belongings, you know? So, I mean, I'd say divorce is a big one.
Yeah.
What about you? What's like the big, you had a year of like a lot of
I do feel like we've had a lot of emergencies over the last few years.
Maybe.
And I was trying to think about it and I can't believe I was listing out. I was like, oh, there was this vet thing. And I was like, oh, the roof. And I can't believe I almost blocked out of my brain the bats.
I was going to do a bat motion. The bats.
The bats. No, every
the
time.
The Bats in the Attic, which sound like a book or
it
something.
It does.
The Bats in the Attic.
Every time I think about the bats, I think about the guy on Sesame Street, the count. Like, 1, 2, I was like, 1, 2, 70,000 bats.
1, 2, $20,000 to get rid of the bats.
Exactly. Getting bats in your house, try not to, friends. Try not to have bats in your house. It is extremely expensive. We, very long story short, I heard a rustling in the wall. And we assumed it was a squirrel. Had a guy come out. Turns out there's like a whole colony of bats that have been living in... We don't even have an attic. It's kind of like a little crawl space. Like, no one would ever go up there. And he said the bats have probably been living there for a decade without us knowing it, without any of the previous owners knowing it.
Before you, to be clear,
before
right?
us, they were there yes. first. Yeah. And we used to sit in the backyard and see bats flying around. We were like, oh, cool, bats, because bats are cool and they eat bugs and they're a good thing to have around. You just don't want them living in your house. And
yeah. It's like, oh, cool, those are our pet bats.
Exactly.
You just didn't know they were your bats.
I did not know that we had set up a 5-star resort for bats in our home. And the first estimate, I can't even remember, it was like $10,000 or $15,000. We did find a place that would do it for a little bit less, but it was an ordeal.
So I, again, will just say I'm very thankful I've not had a lot of emergencies. But, you know, I know we talked about like jobs. I mean, there could be medical emergencies with a family member. Mm-hmm. Sick pets is a really common one. I know you had that with one of your animals last year.
And it felt really, I mean, I will say the only silver lining in like a very emotional medical emergency related to our pet was not having to think about money in that moment. That was like, I was like, this is what we've been training for.
Like, yeah, I mean, it's incredibly sad what you were dealing with your pet, but that is what is so important and beautiful about a true emergency fund and respecting it and treating it like an emergency fund.
Yeah.
Is you don't, when you're dealing with a stressful situation, money is not adding stress to it because you're like, we've been planning for this.
Yeah, it gives you like space to feel all your feelings about other things without having to divert some of your emotional bandwidth to worrying about money. You get to just feel sad or stressed or grieve or whatever it is you need to feel without one more
That's
thing.
That's a great way of saying it.
Yeah. Let's see. Home repairs are a huge, home repairs are always my biggest one. Bats, yeah. Roofs, landscaping, plumbing.
Yeah. Tree falls. Trees are freaking expensive.
Oh, yeah.
Certain types of trees are really expensive. We just had a bunch fall to like a rental property.
Oof. You had tree drama at your house last year, right?
Yeah, we had a really expensive, complex tree that was like dying and hard to access. And yeah, so yeah, tied to all these things, there could be like extra childcare needs, unexpected travel you've got to make.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's other things that are, you know, really sad, like if you're in a domestic abuse situation and you have the freedom and flexibility to more of it to get out of that situation if you've planned ahead. There could be, you know, an unplanned pregnancy. You know, there's all sorts of situations that could be an emergency.
We're listing through all of these things with the idea that it's so common to talk about emergency funds in terms of covering your living expenses and in terms of if you lost your job. Yeah, this sounds so negative. There's all kinds of emergencies that can happen. It's not just losing your job. So even if your job feels secure, it might be tempting to like dip into that emergency fund for a vacation or down payment on a house or not that I've done any of those things.
But to your point, the true spirit of an emergency fund is it is an actual emergency. It is not a nice to have, because let's say you dipped into it for the down payment on your house, and then literally the first week you own that house, a tree falls and crashes into it, and you've got a busted water pipe. I mean, some crazy things can happen. And yes, you have a deductible with your insurance company, but usually you have to front the money to pay for all those repairs because they're emergency repairs being done, and then you've got to file a claim, and so you need that money to pay for that stuff. And so that is just one example, but the idea is it takes a lot of discipline and self-control to not touch that money unless there is a true emergency. And I think it's worth even upfront with your partner, if you're not single and you're planning this emergency fund with someone else, being aligned on like, what do we agree is an emergency?
Mm, yeah.
You know, you can always handle it on the fly, but it's helpful to have those expectations up front.
That's a very good point. You're very wise.
Oh, thanks. You are too. So is Instagram, right? Because so you went to Instagram and asked.
I said, share with me your gnarliest emergency fund uses. So either like most expensive or most dramatic. And definitely a good number of things that we've talked about already. Home repairs, vet bills.
Yeah.
Here are a few.
I haven't heard these yet, by the way. I'm kind of in suspense.
Here are a few that I had not thought of and now are new things for me to worry about.
Yeah.
My
great.
What?
I was just saying great. Oh, I'm always looking for new things to worry about.
I know you said
this is
wait.
Exciting.
Okay. My daughter is in college. Her rental house got bed bugs. Cost to rent, $2,200.
Oh, I didn't even think about kids in college. Then you got like a whole nother extended set of emergencies.
I know. Okay. Okay. Let's see. Oh, to replace not one, but two cars within 2 months because of two car accidents, neither one of which was our fault.
Oh,
that's the pro of only having one car. I guess we can only have one car get wrecked.
That did remind me of the time that rats got into our cars during COVID. Do you remember?
Oh,
did I ever tell
yeah,
you about that?
I remember you telling me.
They
that.
Like chewed through the seatbelt harness. Like, I mean, it wasn't. It actually turned out to not be a ridiculously expensive repair. But yeah, rats getting in your car is another.
Oh God,
potential.
That's
emergency.
A nightmare. Okay, here's one I had never crossed my mind: repaying relocation funds when I left a job. So if you start a job, they pay for you to relocate, and then you're like, "This job is terrible. I'm going to bail." You might have to pay that money back.
It's a good one.
Yeah.
Not an uncommon one.
Right. One I didn't think of, surprise tax bill.
Yeah. Messed up your taxes in a previous year and all of a sudden you owe.
Yeah. It's your first year having a business or like something and you just don't know.
Oh, even from that year's taxes, you're right.
Right.
Yeah.
You just don't know like what's going
to. You could get audited is another one.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. That's another. Okay, yeah. Great.
This is like a game. Like let's one up every single emergency.
How could it be worse?
Fear in all of it. Yeah.
How could it be scary? Oh, here's sewage backup. This person put all caps. Get water endorsements. You're often not covered for backup.
I don't even know what a water endorsement is, but putting that on my to-do list to research.
I think it's on your homeowner's insurance. I think it's like a rider on your homeowner's insurance.
Oh, okay.
I could be wrong.
Okay.
Okay. And then the one that actually gave me the most, I was like, oh no, I will think about this every day and worry about this every single day for the rest of my life.
I don't know if I want to hear it, Liz.
For an exterminator, when I found cockroaches in my car.
I'm not sure if I'd rather have rats or cockroaches
rats,
in my car.
100% rats.
I didn't know cockroach. I just didn't think about it. But yeah, they can get everywhere. Oh, I hate roaches.
I know. Okay.
Roaches are very – it's funny. I was actually like touring someone in a rental property with the tenants in it. This is our really good rental property.
Okay.
With like awesome tenants.
I'm so nervous.
The tenant, she was like really young. No, it's not a big deal, but she was like really young and somewhat new to Atlanta. And she was like, I mean, are there like, do you need pest control? Are there roaches in the, you know, and we both looked at each other and were like, there's roaches everywhere in the South. Like you can't not have them. They're just a thing. You can get pest control, but you will still see a roach at some point
in your, yeah,
in your house. Like it is just not, I don't want to say it's impossible to rid them, but it's. They're around and they're very prevalent. Not in like massive quantities everywhere, but you'll see one once a week or something.
Yeah.
And it's funny because we both looked at her like, yeah, I mean, like, yes, you might see a roach at some point.
It's like in New York City, like, are there rats in this neighborhood?
Yeah, exactly.
Are there pigeons?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Are there a lot of people? Is it busy here?
But you're oof, that one just was going to get a cockroach infestation in your car.
And then while you're driving too, that would like, I would get in a wreck. And then you got a cockroach infestation. Then you're going to get in a wreck because I would get in a wreck over like, I lose my crap if I'm driving and all of a sudden like a roach comes out.
There was a spider in my car.
I lose
one
my crap
time,
when it,
and I pulled over I was like screaming, pulling over.
If you see me in the car and I'll see like a spider, which is moving at a very, very slow speed compared to a roach and, or like a gnat or something, I'll always like, I'm acting like I'm dying. I'm like, Greg, get it.
Oh my gosh. That is,
what? Yeah, okay. So emergencies. So that should be some motivation for having your emergency fund. And then I think we can wrap up with where
are you going to put this money
to keep the money.
Yeah.
Not under your mattress.
What about in little canvas sacks that have dollar signs written on them, like in the cartoons?
I would not recommend that, but that looks cute.
My dad told me that he has – I'm still not sure if he was joking, actually. He said he has money buried in the backyard, and he said the trick is if you – so you put the cash in a jar, but then you put the jar lid down so that if the lid comes undone, it doesn't get wet still.
Yeah. Well, that makes it sound like he actually does have money buried in the backyard. Like, he knows a lot about it. He's thought through this.
I know. I was like,
so not in the backyard. We don't recommend that. But do what you want.
So we recommend a high yield savings account. I think both Maggie and I use Wealthfront for our, it's where we keep cash. Do you keep your emergency fund in a separate account, or do you just keep like one big checking account?
I'm a unique bird because I'm early retired. So the amount of cash I keep on hand is larger than a true emergency fund would need to be. But I keep it all in one fund.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, up here how I'm going to use it. But Wealthfront actually does let you kind of create sub-accounts. They don't earn interest on their own, you know. But they're sort of like little parent-child in terms of how you view them. And I do that for like my kids' savings accounts so that they also are getting the 5.5% that Wealthfront is paying out right now.
So it just let you still earn interest on the total balance. It just kind of lets you mentally bookmark money for things.
Yeah, it doesn't equate. It doesn't, like, I'll have, you know, one of my kids is like, you know, $1,000 something in her account. It's not adding 5.5% interest on that little section of it. The interest is just in the overall account.
Right.
Her amount does not change with interest.
So you couldn't tell her how much interest she, I mean, you could, but you'd have to do the math yourself is what you're saying. Okay. Yeah.
And if she, when she gets savvy enough to realize this, I will reward her with manually calculating the interest each year for her and paying it out. But until then, she doesn't know what's up. I've been taking her 5.5%.
And investing it.
I have. Yeah, true. But yeah, we love Wealthfront. It's super easy to use. Any high yield, we could put up, you know, some referral links in the show notes, but any high yield savings account, Wealthfront has been one of the more competitive in terms of keeping their rates the highest, the fastest when the Fed changes interest rates. It may not be that high forever, but they've historically remained very competitive to the highest that are being paid on any high yield savings account.
Yep. There's lots of them that are close. I mean, if you're, this is going to date this episode immediately, but if your savings account is paying 4.5%, it's probably not worth it to switch to Wealthfront to get 5%. But if you're in a savings account that's paying 0.25%, it's worth it to switch to anything. Ally, Marcus, Wealthfront, any of the ones that are paying the higher rate.
Yeah, I totally agree.
How do you feel about, do you keep any actual physical cash in your house?
I do keep a few hundred in physical cash, like maybe 500. And it's been helpful every now and then when I've had to like pay a handyman or someone who preferred cash. Mm-hmm. And there's been a few times where I need, even sometimes like certain school trips that could be like a couple $100, they want to be paid in cash.
Oh, interesting.
And so I like keeping some, but not like large amounts.
Yeah. I'm not trying to make you a target. You're like, yeah, I have $10,000 in my iPad.
I do not have that much cash in my
house. I live on Oak Lane. Maggie doesn't live on Oak Lane. I made that up.
Yeah. That sounds like a nice street.
It doesn't sound like a nice street.
To you?
I like to keep cash on hand for those same, right? Because sometimes you just want cash for something and it's just nice to have it. But then I think it has two purposes. One, sometimes you just want cash for whatever reason. And then two, I've started to fall down this very light, practical prepping rabbit hole of like having water in the house, having some canned food in the house, and having cash in the house. Like if there was, you know, let's say there was a citywide blackout, you might only be able to buy things with cash temporarily. So,
yeah, I'm only going to have a little bit on hand for that. I haven't increased it.
Same. I feel like I just want $500 or $1,000, but I'll try to replenish it like as if we end up spending it.
Yeah.
I have heard – so most of the banks that pay the highest interest rate are primarily online-only banks. Again, like Ally or Wealthfront, so they don't have a physical bank I was going to say at your house, not at your, in your neighborhood.
Like a physical location.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And I've heard some.
Not at my house. We've established I don't keep that much cash.
I'm just going to go to the Bank of Maggie when I need cash. So I've heard some people say that they don't want to keep their emergency fund in an online bank, or they only want to keep part of it there because it can take a couple of days to transfer. I don't totally follow that logic. I guess all of the emergencies that we've talked about, all of the worst case scenarios, they all like take a credit card, and then you would use that money that you have to pay off
your bill before it's due.
Right.
Yeah, totally agree. My brother actually, just when we were doing like a financial review, and I was like, why do you have all this money here? Why won't you move it all into Wealthfront? And he had that reason. And I was like, when are you ever going to, that you can't wait 24, 48 hours? And I was just confirming, but there's certain ones where there's like a little fee if you do an instant transfer. They're kind of willing to like front you the money, essentially. Mm-hmm. I mean, it depends on the amount you're withdrawing. But like, if I just go and withdraw a few $100 from Wealthfront, it'll be in my bank account by 5 p.m. today.
Yeah.
It's 11 o'clock right now.
Right.
If I do a bigger amount, I do think it takes longer, and I'm just testing that real quick. Oh no, if I do $10,000, it'll be in my account by 5 p.m. today.
No.
I think it has to be a much bigger amount where there's sometimes a, yeah, so I just did a much larger amount and it will be there in 1 to 2 business days. So yeah, I agree. I don't think that is not something, I mean, you want enough money in your, you know, like local checking account or whatever, but like I keep as much as I can in Wealthfront, earning 5.5% interest.
Right.
Because I want that.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. I have yet to think of an emergency that actually, I mean, again, besides some sort of apocalyptic, like credit card machines are down. But aside from that, there are very few instances where, you know, a hospital, a roof collapse, a car repair, like they're all gonna, you don't need an actual sack of cash with a dollar sign on the side.
Yeah, very true. Okay. Well, I was going to wrap us up, but anything else?
I think we did it.
Yeah. I think we've covered everything you need to know. Almost. We never cover everything, you know, but we've covered most of the things you need to know about emergency funds. I hope this was helpful. We really appreciate you all listening and spending some time with us. If you have enjoyed today's episode, we would love it if you want to give us a written review on Apple Podcasts or leave us a rating on Spotify. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, we're trying to get Inside Out Money to 100 reviews this year. Is that 80 something? Is that right?
Yeah, what's funny is I said that one time and then I was like, oh, I can get way past 100. That's ridiculous. We're in April and we're at 85. I think I wanted to get 100 new reviews this year. That's my new goal. I restated. I just made that up right now, to be clear.
That's amazing.
But that felt more realistic, actually, or more reasonable.
Yeah.
Like, that's a better goal.
So my like solo podcast, List Gets Loaded, is at 92 right now. And I was like, I want to get to 100. I think last year I was at like 70 something. And I was like, I'm going to get to 100. And for some reason, it's just so sad. I'm like, 100 is just such a satisfying number.
It is a very nice number. I was trying to remember how many Friends on Fire had, but we have Inside Out Money has 86 reviews. Ooh. Right now. So you could be number 87.
Lucky 87.
That's exciting.
Yeah. Well, you don't have to leave a review. You know, it's up to you. We really want you to, but you could also, there's so many other things you could do. You could just keep listening. We like it when you listen. You could share this episode with a family member or a friend. Maybe if someone has mentioned that they had an emergency recently, be like, oh, I was thinking about you. I just listened to this episode.
Yeah. And you want them to have an emergency fund because otherwise they're going to call you when they have an emergency. So you politely make sure that everybody you know has their own emergency fund.
Right.
You don't, and that you don't become their emergency fund.
Very, very good point.
Do you want to know a fun fact?
Yes.
There was one Friends on Fire episode we recorded that was never released. And it was funny. I don't, now that I forget about, now part of it was just like forgetting about it eventually. But it was one where Mike like surprised me with a topic.
Oh.
And was like, didn't tell me what it was in advance. And then we recorded it, but it was on loaning money to friends and family.
Oh.
Which is a very like contentious, or not contentious,
loaded,
might be the
like
wrong
sensitive
word. Loaded, yes. Yeah. There's a lot of layers to that. Whoa. Discussion. And culturally, there's a lot of differences in how people would approach something like that. And we, maybe someday I'll dig that thing up and publish.
Wow.
It. It wasn't a bad episode. It was more of like less prepared for episode and just kind of, you know, talking ad hoc, which is kind of tough on like a layered topic like that. So it might be why we never released it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was the one, I don't know what they call that with like musicians.
The lock,
like
from the vault.
Yeah, from the vault. So maybe someday we'll release that episode.
Wait, I do remember an episode, though, where did Mike just, like, surprise you? Like, did he just show up at your house and he was like, hey, get in, loser, no, we're recording.
That was me. Well, we were supposed to record on the phone, and I surprised him in person to record. It was, like, during COVID.
Okay.
I surprised him with COVID.
No.
I'm just kidding. But it was during COVID times when we were, like, doing everything remote.
Oh, okay.
I had prearranged it with his wife to make sure that she was, like, cool with me just dropping by, because I don't like to drop by at people's houses unannounced. But yeah, no, that was one. I don't remember what the recording was for that, but that was not the lone one.
Okay. I was like, wait, no, I think you accidentally published it, but no. All right. Well, if you have thoughts or questions, we would love to hear from you. You can leave a voicemail or text us any thoughts at 404-981-3370 or hit us up on Instagram at Inside Out Money, or you can find me on Instagram at Liz Gets Loaded.
Nice. Yeah, Liz has a fun Instagram account. More fun than mine. So if you should follow both of us, but you should definitely follow at Liz Gets Loaded.
The full experience is definitely following both of us.
Yeah, because there's some overlap, but more like ongoing discussion at times.
Right. Yeah, there's a lot of back and forth. I occasionally get really sweet DMs from people who are like, I just love how you and Maggie are friends and I want to be friends with you. I want to be in this friend group. Yeah.
We're taking applications, and the first step is you have to leave us a written review on Apple Podcasts. Mm-hmm. Then we can't get in touch with you because there's no way to actually reply to those. But then you have to, like, send us a picture and say, hey, this was me. Can I be your friend?
Yep.
That's step two.
And then we all go get ice cream together.
Yep, exactly.
Perfect.
Okay, well, if anyone wants to do that, I might actually be your friend. So let me know. if you've listened this far and then you actually go do those steps,
yep,
then you're kind of fun.
You're in the crew.
Okay. Right. Thanks. We did it. It's done. Okay. go start your emergency funds.
Yep.
See you later. Bye, Liz.
See you later. Bye.